Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the AMAA Masters Radio Network and show called Parts Unknown. My name is Professor Gary Lee, and you're allowing me to come into your home tonight. Kali Bum, we're going on our second year. Real exciting coming into your home every week. I mean, I'm tickled pink to be able to do that and bring people in that have created martial arts in America, not just through what they're done personally, but how they've touched so many other people. Really, tonight we've got a very special guest, someone that I've got some history with, and I'm going to share that with you in just a few moments. But before we start, I've got my normal shout outs I like to do before we start. And coming up in 2 weeks, and almost less than 2 weeks, well, 2 weeks, April 13th or 14th, my dear friend, you might know him, he's called Superfoot. Bill Wallace is having his big tournament and extravaganza world championship in Cleveland, Ohio. It's put on by Richard McClain. And it's at a beautiful amusement park right next to the airport. So if you want to fly, you just get off the plane and kind of go to the amusement park. And the Marriott's right there. And I tell you, this is the third year Fort Quad Museum has been involved with Bill. We've been involved with him from the very beginning because he's an original history general. But the third year that we've been involved with the Sport Quad Museum and the World Championship. Mm-hmm. And so Don DeVries and Rich McClain's got a vision. And also they're introducing the Cleveland Martial Arts Hall of Fame on the same weekend with the banquet, the tournament. And I'm really excited about this too, because I'm going to talk about it a little bit later, but we're introducing Bubble Kumite for the children at Bill's tournament this year. And I'm personally going to be overseeing that. So we'll be in Cleveland, Ohio, April the 13th and 14th. And if you're out in that area, if you'd like to fly out, I mean, we'd love to have you. Bill Wallace Superfoot World Championship. The week after, I'm so excited about this event also, that the Sport Quad Museum will be there with a booth and everything. In fact, my special guest tonight will be there also. There's a man that I helped induct and put into the Masters Hall of Fame many years ago, and he's just done something really incredible these past few years. He's become an ambassador for people, particularly for the Sport Quad Museum. And he's going to be getting his 8th degree black belt from the first national champion of America, Mr. J. Pat Burleson, for the celebration of also Mr. Burleson's birthday, I believe, but some amazing people in the end. Jim Anderson, Joe Corley, Jeff Smith, I know Mr. Archer's coming in, Daryl Stewart's coming in. I heard a rumor that Bob Wall's going to be there, George Clark. There's going to be just an amazing group and all the Texas guys to celebrate Jamie Cashin's 8th grade celebration. April the 21st, and this will be in Burleson, Texas. For more information, just go to Facebook and just type in Jamie Cashin's celebration. Another plug-in, and I'm going to come back in the middle of the show and I'll do the rest of the plug-ins, but one more, and this is a great one. We're going to be doing the Super Show July 1st and 3rd at the Bellagio in Las Vegas. And this is our event that is sponsored every year by Central Martial Arts and the largest martial arts industry show in the world. And I saw one seminar one year where Mr. Wallace or Bill Wallace had almost 1,500 people in one seminar. Vinny Yukitis has 1,000 people in one seminar. It's just an incredible, incredible event. So Martial Arts Super Show, mark your calendar, July 3rd, 1st through the 3rd, Bellagio, Las Vegas, Texas. Now, my special guest tonight, I've got a introduction. I'd like to talk a little bit about him. He's a very, very special part of the Sport Quad Museum, one of my history generals. But, you know, this is a story of the American dream and karate in America. It really is. And this is the interview with Master Buddy Hudson, who grew up in Grapevine, Arkansas. You know, he was raised by a loving family, a country family of strong American values and base roots and just doing things the right way. You know, from a brother and four sisters to help understand family ambitions, there is the explanation on why he has been such a success in his incredible career in the martial arts, probably. Here are some of the bullet points that some of the things that we'll cover and ask in this up-close and personal interview with AMAA, Parts Unknown Interview, with a champion of life and martial arts. You know, he is a World Games silver medalist. That's pretty impressive right there. So we will ask, where was that, and what did you do to get there and qualify, and how many countries were involved? How did you start your training, and who and why? You know, one of the other questions we'll ask was, what was your competitive career? And oh, yeah, I gotta ask this. Tell me about your fight with that Ready National number one fighter, Thai Boa creator, Billy Blanks. Now, we really like to know about your program, also called Kick for Kids, and what that is all about. You know, America wants to know the people that help create martial arts in America. You know, America's Best Menu Sales System for school owners changed the way of business for a lot of karate instructors, you know, and helped them in so many ways. We will talk about that subject, too. You know, however, there's always fun in my personal interviews, and this is no exception, you know, to that honest, guys. Almost 10 years ago, Master Buddy Hudson became a history general, and we traveled a few cities, you know. One event was with Mr. D. Chambers, who now is the president of the AOK and is going to be my special guest next week. You know, this was an AOK karate tournament, and we were doing our booth, and Buddy tells me, you know, he would like to fight. Of course, it was kind of agged on by Miss Linda Denley and myself, but, you know, it was super cool. You know, nobody knew him, you know, in the AOK circuit, and so I paid his entry fee, got some equipment, and I threw him in the senior division, where he won first place. You know, the second personal moment was when I nominated Mr. Pat Burleson and the first national karate champion, of course, Mr. Jamie Cashin, premier ambassador for the martial arts, and World Games silver medalist Buddy Hudson for the Masters Hall of Fame in California. My bro. That's right, my bro. Fun times. Enjoy this time with a man who turned the American dream into a karate passion to help others pass on the knowledge. Always protecting the history, one more at a time. Mr. Buddy Hudson. Are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. How are you, Professor Lee?
Oh, I'm doing great. You please call me Gary, and you, may I call you Buddy? Because it's very kind of important.
Absolutely.
Super. And you know, I want to say right off the bat, thank you so much for giving me your time today. I mean, I know you're a busy guy, and you got a lot of stuff going on, but give me your time for this moment with the Parts Unknown Show. It means very special. Very special.
Well, I'm very happy to. The Sport Karate Museum is a real important part of the martial arts industry and the martial arts world, and really appreciate you inviting me on.
Well, you're one of the guys I work for every day. You know that. I know you know that. Here you go, man. I want to get into the deep, deep, dig roots of Buddy Hudson and how you got started, because I know there's people listening that are your fans and also people that love you and people who want to know. What makes Buddy Hudson tick? So let's start off the bat with how did you get involved? I know you came from a country family and stuff, but you come from a country town, I guess. Not country town, but Arkansas. That's about pretty country. But how did you get started? Who influenced you? And what was your first steps in martial arts, Buddy?
Well, thank you for asking. And I did come from, I was a kind of a country bumpkin from Arkansas. You know, when I was young, I grew up in the country. And my older sister was in martial arts, and I was the little brother that was about 13 or 14 years old, and she was married, and her and her husband were training, and she knew her little brother wanted to do karate, and my family was, I guess you'd say we were kind of a poor family, and my parents really couldn't afford to send me to karate, so my older sister started paying for my karate lessons, and she would come out twice a week and pick me up, and we were about 30 minutes from town out in the country. She'd pick me up and take me to karate classes, and I never will forget what she did for me. She pointed me in a direction at a young age that made me very fortunate and very blessed. And so yeah, my older sister got me started in karate, and she was a karate champion herself back in the day.
Wow. Okay. What was her name?
Her name is Pat Patricia Whitehead.
And now, was that ATA, the ATA group that you were a part of?
No, Actually, I started training before I got involved in Taekwondo. I started training in a style called Tahoru Karate. It's a form of jujitsu. It means the art of arresting. And it was a lot of defensive tactics, a lot of joint locks and in-close fighting. I started training under then her instructor, Sensei Bo Hardy. And as a matter of fact, I took my first class with Sensei Hardy when I was 13 years old. And we still stay in contact today. He's still teaching. And I still consider myself his student, and we stay in contact.
That's great. Now,
that's been about 40 years ago.
What year did you make black belt?
I made my black belt, I believe, in 77 or 78. I had been training, like I said, since I was about 13 years old. I had trained for 3, 4, 5 years, and I made my black belt under a gentleman that was in Tahoru Karate back then, but also became a very well-known in the ATA and helped progress the ATA along quite a bit over the years, and his name is Ron Turchi. I still stay in contact with him. Sensei Hardy, I took my first class and trained with him and Mr. Turchi, who's a 10th degree black belt now. He promoted me to black belt. And those two gentlemen, like I said, I still stay in contact with them.
Well, you know, I gotta share this with you. Our good friend Rick Arnold from Sherman, Texas.
Yes.
He told me that he had met someone that I had to meet, and he had all this incredible cool stuff, and he gave me his phone number. I called him. His name was Ron Turchi, and I made a relationship and talked with him, and he gave me an incredible group of stuff that he had collected through the years, and we became very good friends, and I realized that you guys were close because he had shared with me about Buddy Hudson, and that's really cool. You see, that's what's cool about the martial arts, how it goes in a circle. Because I would never have met Mr. Turchi unless I was good friends with Rick Arnold. And then, of course, you're involved. And Mr. See, it's a big circle. I love that. I love that about the martial arts, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, Mr. Turchi's a good guy. You know, he also, one of the ambassadors I have is Randy Drury. You know Randy Drury? Randy Drury is actually one of our ambassadors for the museum. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a small world. It really is. Now, you got deeply involved with the ATA, correct? Or Taekwondo group?
I trained with the ATA for, well, I was in the ATA for probably about 5 years, and I have some wonderful friends that are actually still in the ATA, of course, everybody knows the ATA is one of the largest and most professional organizations in the country. I was involved in ATA for several years before I decided to move on and get involved in other things. I wanted to, you know, to get more involved in kickboxing. I wanted to get more involved in, you know, other things on the international scale. And at that time, the ATA just wasn't at that level.
Were you involved with the ATA when you won the silver medal?
I wasn't. Several years after I got out of the ATA, yeah.
Okay, now let's talk about that a little bit. Here's something I want to kind of set the base, because I really thought about this, buddy. You know, today in 2018, tournaments are kind of like a dime a dozen. And you go, yeah. Not because the tournaments aren't good or anything, but they have so many divisions. So you don't really compete against the best. You compete only with people in that division, you know, and sometimes there's only two or three. It's not like what we did when we competed when there was 30 or 40. And also people take for granted winning titles and stuff. Well, I know from winning gold medals and silver medals in certain qualifications and things, you have to work your way up. Winning a silver medal in the World Games is a big deal. And I'd like to know how you got involved with that. How did you get started? What was your goal? And, you know, like the question I asked in the beginning, I mean, how many countries were involved? And what was it like winning a silver medal, man? That's cool.
Yeah, it was certainly the highlight of my martial arts career. You know, I had a wonderful instructor and international coach. You know, I mentioned Sensei Hardy and Von Turchi. I trained with them when I was young, and excuse me, I got involved in competition, and I had won several state championships. And a wonderful friend of mine and coach, Scott McNeely, who still teaches today, and he was hosting and getting involved in several countries in competition. He had introduced me to several of the Korean grandmasters that trained directly under General Choi, and I was fortunate enough to meet those guys and train with them. I've trained with Grandmaster Park Chung-tae, who was the father of Russian Taekwondo. Of course, you know, Grandmaster Jun Rhee is father of American Taekwondo. Grandmaster Nam-tae, he trained with him. He was the father of Vietnamese Taekwondo. And so I got involved on an international level and started competing internationally. And we competed against several countries, Russia, Scotland, the Canada. And through the international competitions, I just kind of worked my way through the ranks of competitors and got invited to the 1987 World Games, and it was first scheduled for Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, and they had right before we went over, a month or so before we went over, they had some controversy in the country, and they had to quickly move the World Games to Athens, Greece. And now this was it was the Taekwondo World Games, but back then they, you know, if you were a Taekwondo, karate, you know, pretty much anybody competed. It was hosted by the ITF, but there were 72 countries involved in this event, and all black belts. This event took 7 days to run. I remember competing at 2 o'clock in the morning in some of the divisions, and it was a well ran international event, and I had made it through I don't even know how many fights, you know, probably 20 or 30 fights, and it came down to myself, a gentleman named Paul Germain from Canada, and then a North Korean competitor, Paul Germain, it came down to me and Paul for the gold and the silver, and the North Korean won the bronze. Myself and Paul Germain fought it out for the gold and the silver, and he ended up sliding by me and won the gold. And but I tell you, it was a competition of a lifetime. It was.
I want to go back.
They started. I'm sorry.
Did you say you fought 20 or 30 fights?
Oh yeah, yeah. It was. I mean, there were 72 countries involved in this thing. It was.
Another thing. I want to talk about, because, you know, this is really something that I think about every day. Because, you know me, I'm an animal. I remember when it was a state championship. It was a big deal. I remember when they said they were going to create a national championship, and there was maybe two states involved. and then. Someone had enough nerve, and no names to mention, they wanted to create world championships. Maybe 10 states were involved and Mexico. But you're telling me 72 countries. That's a world championship.
There were 72 countries invited to the World Games, and it was the biggest event I had ever seen. Obviously. And you know, the level of competition, you know, they had board breaks, power breaks, they had specialty techniques, and they started their high jump board break at 9 foot. If you couldn't jump up and break a board at 9 foot, you just couldn't enter. They started their hand techniques.
That, like Kyokushin Kai, you had to break before each fight. You had qualifications, you're saying?
You didn't have to break before each fight. They would run the competitions to where they had breaking competition and then fighting competition and then forms competition, but if you couldn't knife hand strike six boards, you couldn't enter. And it was a really interesting. I think the power board, the power kicking breaks. It started at 8 or 9 boards, and if you couldn't pop 8 boards, you just couldn't enter. And
wow,
it was amazing because I even questioned whether anybody could do it. And then all of a sudden you're seeing guys jump up, turn upside down, and break break boards at 9, 9.5 feet.
I got to ask, buddy, because you're a breaker, buddy. I know you are. What's your record?
I've broke 7 before. I've never broken past
it's
7.
Spacers.
What's that?
Spacers or no spacers?
Oh, no spacers. Spacers are cheating.
Ah, you said it live on my show. Say it again.
No disrespect to anybody, so.
Right, but say it again. Spacers are what?
I don't know if I want to say that again. I'll get myself in trouble. My name is Buddy.
Listen, buddy, it's not cheating. What it is, it creates momentum. That's all. More momentum.
I've never broken boards. I've never ever broken board with spacers. Never.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not a true break with spacers because it gives momentum.
You're right.
So it's not cheating.
Spacers was not allowed.
Yes, sir. Exactly. But that's not old school, but that's just pure technique. You use a spacer, whether it be a penny or a match or whatever. That little quarter inch gives it more momentum than you would with an actual break, right? Correct?
Of course.
Yeah, because you're not cheating.
When you stack six.
Kind of like Kirk did in the Kobayashi Maru in Star Trek. He just changed the rules a little.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, buddy, you fought one of the top fighters in the time, probably in the era that he was one of the top fighters. And now we're talking about our friend Billy Blanks, who created Taibo. I knew him as a fighter. And I'm going back, he knocked me out in Fort Worth in 1982, that cartwheel kick. Knocked me out cold. I had to be waking up.
Did he?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then afterwards, he told me, he says, well, Gary, you know what I do? I train in the sand on the beach in army boots just so I could have that power. I just looked at him and said, well, there's no doubt about power. Tell me about your fight with him. When was it, and where was it, and how'd it go?
Well, I tell you, let me say this first. Billy Blanks is one of the most wonderful people I've ever met. He is a true gentleman, a true martial artist, and I fought Billy probably 3 or 4 times back in the mid-'80s. Wonderful guy. There was some team fights that was put together in St. Louis, and my coach back then, Grandmaster McNeely, he got a call, and about team competition because we were doing a lot of national and international competition back then, and he got a call and said that they're putting a team together in St. Louis, and they knew that I was with him and said, hey, we'd like to invite your team to come up and how about let's put Hudson and Blanks together, for the main fight that night. And so, of course, McNeely, being the friend that he was, he took him up on it before he asked me. He said, we'll take it. Hudson to fight him. And so the funny thing is that all along, everybody knew of Billy's cartwheel kick. I had us karate guys are. We're all full of it. And so my buddies on the team were saying, Hudson, don't let him hit you with that cartwheel kick. He's pretty good. Be aware of it and blah blah blah. And I was saying, he's not going to hit me with that cartwheel kick. He telegraphs it. He moves his shoulders. He stutter steps. He's not going to hit me with that. Well, lo and behold. Midway through the match, I didn't see it coming. He hit me with he did the cartwheel kick and hit me in the forehead with one heel and hit me in the chin with another heel, and snapped me back and knocked me right on the floor. He didn't knock me out, but it's the closest I've ever come to being knocked out. And of course, I jumped up and I wanted to kill him after that. But we had a wonderful fight. He went on to win that fight And what an athlete and what a gentleman Billy Blanks is.
Well, you know, that's funny that I didn't realize that was a story you're going to tell me. And then I told you I got knocked out in 1982 by it. That's funny as heck. You know, I mean, and you know,
well,
the neat thing about this is that. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say what was so funny is that I had to really eat my words after the fight because I had just been bragging, just saying, "Oh, Billy's not going to hit me with that. He'll telegraph it. He moves his shoulder. He's not going to hit me with that." You know, so
right.
I had to eat my words.
Well, you know, we've been hit by the best, literally. So that's cool.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Absolutely.
I love it. Now, you do something called Kick for Kids. Tell me a little bit about that. I like that because, you know, I'm a big kid advocate myself. Tell me about that.
You know, I was working. I was on the governor's council for physical fitness and sports back when Bill Clinton was governor of Arkansas, and I was helping do some major kids campaigns to, you know, keep their minds and bodies healthy and stay away from drugs and, you know, all these things, and I had produced a video. That was a follow-along, step-by-step video where kids could, you know, follow along at home and take their first lesson, their first karate lesson at home, and then kind of determine, you know, is karate something they wanted to do? And so I produced a video. It was probably in 86 or 87, and that I came out with it. And funny story, nobody would I thought I had to have a distribution company to distribute my video, and everybody told me I did, and I was 25 years old. I didn't know any better. So anyway, after the video got produced, I couldn't get anybody to distribute it. And one day, I kind of got frustrated after about a year of trying to get it out there. And one day I thought, well, you know what? What the heck? I'm just going to call Walmart corporate up and tell them who I am and tell them that I need to help distributing a video. So I called Walmart headquarters. Everybody told me, you know, you can't go directly to Walmart. You got to have a distributor. Well, I gave up on the distributor, and so I called them up, and nice lady, you told her who I was and from Little Rock, and blah blah blah. Nice lady said, well, let me patch you through to somebody. So she patched me through to a buyer, and a buyer talked with me and said, you know what? If you go visit with a couple of regional managers, and if they're interested in you know, your video, then we'll look at it. Well, I did just that, and I got back with him. And anyway, we went in over 400 videos, 400 Walmart stores, and I think we're in about 100 video stores back then, Blockbusters and, you know, this and that across the country. And it went real, real strong for probably a year or 2 years. And quite honestly, I was 25 years old, didn't know what I was doing, and it got taken off the shelf because I couldn't produce product fast enough to keep up with Walmart.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, it was, you know, I had created something that was moving, and of course, if you can't, you know, produce the product fast enough, it, they don't keep it. And so I was out there, I was in over 400 markets, 400 stores and video stores across the country, and it kind of died. They would place orders, and I couldn't keep up with it. But anyway, it was I produced. It was called the Kick for Kids Karate Club. Kids would buy a video, and they could follow along at home and be one of my little karate kids. And then they would get a T-shirt and a headband, and they could join the Kick for Kids Karate Club. And I sent them a newsletter, and I had thousands of kids all over the country involved in the Kick for Kids Karate Club, teaching them how to keep their minds and bodies healthy through martial arts.
You know what? I know why now, deep in my heart, why I hit it off so well with you. Because you're an entrepreneur's entrepreneur. I've never met anybody who's actually got in for Walmart from the street. That's pretty cool.
Well, everybody told me that it couldn't be done.
I've been told that.
Yeah,
I've tried to introduce product fishing. I did fishing, and I did get into academy, and I got Century into academy. But I just, that story alone is worth this interview, to realize that someone out there with a dream is listening, can listen to what you just did, and say it's not impossible to pursue that American dream and get involved with the largest retail store in the world. Well, literally, Walmart is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I was just hard-headed enough that I wasn't going to give up. And I did. They did put me off for about a year from everybody telling me, you got to have a distributor. You can't go to Walmart. Well, I was just about ready to give up on it. I thought, well, what the heck? I'm just going to call Walmart myself.
That's amazing.
And
I love it.
It worked.
It is. Now, you also did something that I got involved with a few years back when you became a history journal, and it was the menu system. We actually went to a couple cities, and we introduced that to a couple of instructors, and that was very successful for you. You're not doing that anymore, though, right?
You know, I'm not. I do it very little. I've got right. 58 schools across the country that use a menu system in some form or fashion. And, you know, some of them use it just like it is, and then some of them kind of tweak it and you know, use what parts that they want to use of it and then kind of put their own spin on it. But funny story in that.
I mean, when it started, they copycatted your idea, correct? That's really what comes.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, that we all do that to some extent in the martial arts industry. We all, you know, just kind of, you know, take each other's ideas and use it. I don't mind that.
Buddy, I don't mind it either because 20 years ago, when I started putting legends and icons and heroes together, nobody was doing that.
Right.
And now look, hey, now there's one. I mean, I trust, man, I love that. I think it's the best compliment in the world to have an event to bring together people, you know,
absolutely,
that would never get together. I think that's priceless. I think that's God's work of putting us all together. But it's interesting to think that it all started somewhere. And that's what I'm talking about, the menu system, about living legends. So God bless you, man. That's cool. Now, what's going on with Buddy Hudson right now before I take my break? Tell me what's going on with Buddy Hudson right now besides hanging out with your grandson, maybe going fishing and still traveling a lot, right?
Well, I am, yes, very, very much so. I've got three schools in the Dallas area, and staying busy with the three schools. We've just opened up the third school in Prosper, Texas, where my wife and I live, and really enjoying that. I'm so proud of my son, Jared. He is just a wonderful athlete, and he's teaching the Prosper School is kind of his school, and and Dad is kind of assisting him. He is just a few months ago, he had his first group of students that he had trained up, you know, for himself. Jared's 21 years old, and he's a super athlete, and he's got the God-given ability for a martial arts instructor. He's very compassionate about teaching, very compassionate about his students. So I'm spending my time kind of training up my son, and hopefully he'll pass me way up in the martial arts world and be much more successful than I've been.
Well, you know, that's a blessing, because you understand my son is the same way. I mean, it's amazing that the children, they're a product of the tree that grows. God bless him. I hope he's very successful as an instructor. You know, I got to tell this story because I really, really, actually, I prayed about it. Really. I wanted to really say it right. Back in the day, Mr. Daniel Heck, creator and founder of the Masters Hall of Fame, he wanted to put a sport karate guy in Texas and establish it. And I'm very fortunate. I was the first sport karate guy in the Masters Hall of Fame out of Texas.
Right.
And the following year, he asked me to become an ambassador for the Masters Hall of Fame. Well, I was so busy with the museum and my focus on the roast and everything, I couldn't do it. But I said, you know, I've got three incredible people that are a big part of my life now, and there's one young man that I'm telling you, man, he's going to be really, really special. And those three people were J. Pat Burleson, Buddy Hudson, and Jamie Cashin. And the things that Master Cashin has done these past few years since that induction, it just blown me away. And to have you there that night, and Mr. Burleson and Jamie there, tell me what it was like for you to be inducted into the Masters Hall of Fame, and to know that it was very special to be inducted with Mr. Burleson and Jamie. At that time, he was just working for Mr. Burleson. We didn't know that he was going to do all this incredible stuff over there. And let me plug this. Mr. Cashin had the largest martial arts Masters Hall of Fame event probably in the world a few years back and when he did that. So anyway, what was that like being inducted into the Masters Hall of Fame?
Well, it was certainly a blessing, certainly one of the neatest things I've ever been involved in. And you're right, Jamie Cashin is just a super guy. You know, honestly, I thank you so much for thinking of me. You know, even in the same line with J. Pat Burleson. You know, you kind of put us out there and said you have three guys that you know you wanted to have inducted, and I'm so thankful, but. To be honest with you, to be inducted at the same time as J. Pat Burleson, I felt in the wrong place. To be honest with you,
talked about that. I remember.
Yeah.
But I'll say the same thing I told you years ago, buddy. It's not that I compared you with Mr. Burleson or with Jamie. It was the fact that I was asked to put the very first three guys in the responsibility of doing it for Texas. That's why I did it. Personally, I could have done, you know me, I could have done anybody. But I chose you for a reason, for individuality and not compare. And I said that to you personally, say it on the air.
It was so humbling.
Listen, I'm over talking to you. I'm sorry, but I got to say it. You're so sweet to say that. Humbling. God bless you, man. God bless you.
Well, thank you. It was a humbling experience to be you know inducted at the same time as Grandmaster Burleson, and you know he's been my instructor for several years ever since I've come to Texas, and I just think the world of him. He's one of the great icons of martial arts that you know we all know, but you know to be inducted in the Masters Hall of Fame was such an experience, such a great experience, and you know you just. Sometimes wonder, you know, are you worthy of being, you know, inducted into such a prestigious organization in among such a prestigious group? And I think if you're any kind of martial artist at all, you do question that. You go, gosh, it's a neat thing. And the Masters Hall of Fame is one of the most prestigious, if not the most prestigious, Hall of Fames out there.
Well, you know what Mr. Stone told me at the grand opening of the museum, and it really made a lot of sense. I'm talking about Mike Stone, Gary.
Right.
It's not the award, and it's not the event. It's the person who took time to think about you to induct you, and that's
Absolutely.
What always saved me, you know. And I'm very very honored to have friends like you, Buddy Hudson, and. I'm so glad that you shared your humbleness because that's the part of you I really love about you. I'm going to take a short break and do some shout-outs, and I'll come back, and we're going to play the Legends Name Game. Are you ready to do that?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, get ready because I'm going to throw in a couple names you weren't expecting, okay? I'll be back with Buddy Hess in just a few moments. We're talking to the gentleman that really kind of pursued the American dream. And he's accomplished it by listening to the interview. You can understand that. You know, I love doing these shout-outs because it kind of keeps me close to the world of 2018. You know, I mentioned earlier the Who's Who in the Martial Arts book, and that was the heart of our program. Well, you know, on my birthday, believe it or not, August the 3rd, Hachi Jesse Bowen, the Who's Who Martial Arts book, will have their event in Washington, D.C., in coincidence with Dennis Brown's NASCO event. And some of the guests that he's bringing in are Dan Severn, the Beast, UFC champion, Miss Cynthia Rothrock, queen of martial arts and martial arts movies, the one and only, the amazing Linda Denley, probably the best traditional Korean black belt kata competitor ever lived, Mr. John Chung, and my fellow samurai cohort, Mr. Dana Abbott. These are some of the seminars that will be offered at this year's event, August 3rd through the 5th in Washington, D.C. For more information, contact Mr. Jason Bowen or look at the Facebook account on the AMA Masters Radio program. We'll be advertising there. Also, remember that we're going to be doing an event May the 12th And this will be at the Gillies Nightclub in Dallas, Texas. And it's been put on by my dear friends and history general, Mr. Steve Melton, who is a block bill under Mr. Ed Daniel. But Wes Melton and Whit Melton and Stephanie Melton, who run the Long Eagle Martial Arts Studio, they'll be putting on an event, a taekwondo tournament at Gillies Nightclub in Dallas, Texas. For more information, contact Wes Melton at 469-734-6216. And if you'd like to talk to him directly, contact him on Facebook at Long Eagle Martial Arts, and he'll give you more information on the event. I'm very excited about it because, again, we get to introduce Bubble Kumite. That goes into my next shout-out. You know, we did something a few years back. My partner, Sheon Darlene McPherson, we were very, very much in love with children and the aspect of learning martial arts. So we came up with an idea that it's kind of ransacked America. I've got 9 tournaments across America, including this Lawless tournament coming up, this tournament we're talking about, May 12th, other tournaments, and Bubble Kumite. And I have a national director. His name is Mr. Billy Smith out of Burleson, Texas. Very much a kid advocate type event. It's made for 10 to 8-year-olds, 8 to 5-year-olds, and 5 to 1-year-olds. And all they have to do is wear a uniform. 2 bubble machines are set up. They bow in just like a regular tournament, and there's judges with clickers, and the bubble machines start. They have 1 minute to hit the bubbles many times as they can with good karate technique, punches and kicks. And for every time they do it with punches, they get 1 click. Every time they do it with a kick, they get 2 clicks. They do a Bill Wallace technique, call it, the 3 or 4 kicks or a combination, they get 3 clicks. In the 1 minute, the little child gets the total count, and they move up just like fighting. Now, what's the fun part? This is the fun part. they take the number 1 first place winner from the 5 to 1-year-olds and the first place winner from the 6 to 8-year-olds, the first place winner from the 10 to 8-year-olds, and they have a grand championship. And 2 years in a row, the grand championship was won at Legend Level Kumite by a young baby. We're talking about 5, 6, 7 years old. He's just like, I mean, it's amazing to watch these kids break these bubbles. Bubbles come out 50 bubbles a second, so you can imagine. And it's an introduction to get kids involved with sport karate. There's no contact involved. It's fun. And kid advocate type of thing. So be listening to that name, Billy Smith, the national director for Bubble Kumite. And if you hear it at a tournament, check it out. Right now we know it's going to be at Bill Wallace's, Jamal Nationals. It's being introduced to Jim Buten's event and the May 12th event. So remember, Bubble Kumite is coming to a tournament near you. September the 28th and 29th, the Living Legends number 26. Living Legends Roast, Mikey Romore. Now, you're probably saying, well, who the heck is Mikey Romore? Well, without going in depth, Mikey Romore is instrumental with a group of women to help create women martial arts in America. That's a statement, but that's a true fact. He's also one of the first 5 women ever to be rated by a magazine. That's right. That's right. And she was fierce. She was fierce. She traveled, fought, and it. The age that she is now, she still not competes, but she still teaches, does seminars around the country. She's been representing her and her lovely husband, Dana Moore, for the past 5 years at Sport Karate Museum. And we're going to be roasting her with an array of group of people pulled out of the woodwork that loved her all these years. People like John Natividad, Jerry Pennington, Steve Gibson, James Miller. An amazing group of legends are coming into Houston, except here in 28th and 29th, the Rosas icon of sport karate, along with a women's symposium put on by Sheon Darlene McPherson. And as you get the flavor, it's a woman's celebration this year at Living Legends. And it's not just about sport karate. It's about any woman that has helped any man to get where they're at in karate or martial arts. A mom, a grandmother, an aunt, anybody, a teacher, a master instructor, any lady, any woman that has helped a man do whatever. That's what we're celebrating this year. This is the Living Legends number 26, The Power of Women. Check it out. You can contact Sport Karate Museum at www.sportkaratemuseum.org or check our new website, www.sportkarate.museumarchives.com, or you can call 713-483-0473. And don't forget, the book, Who's Who in the Martial Arts, you can contact Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, and of course, our friends at Century Martial Arts. Thank you so much for these shout-outs. And listen, we're going to be telling you more and more things that's coming up. This is what the show's about. Now, I'd like to bring back my guest, my very special guest, Mr. Buddy Hudson. Buddy, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're going to talk about some names that, really, I guess, helped you or been impressive to you, or, you know, and it's like a fight. You got 2 to 3 minutes. Let's talk about them from your heart. And we talked about a young earlier, but I want to talk about him too because, you know, I have a 9th degree black belt under Mr. Burleson. So let's talk again about Mr. J. Pat Burleson, the influence that he's done for you.
Whoa, my goodness. Grandmaster Burleson is such a neat gentleman. I've had the opportunity to travel the country with him over the last 5 years, and while he's taught seminars and you know, tested so many people across the country. And you know, it's funny, when I first started training with him, he showed me things that I thought I knew. For instance, I was working on my round kick, and I thought I had a pretty decent round kick, and he just adjusted it just a little bit, excuse me, and it increased the power probably by a third of my round kick, and he's just so knowledgeable. I know people really understand the icon and that he has done so much in the martial arts industry. I don't know if that many people really know the depth of his knowledge and the dynamics of technique that he really knows and understands. And the only way you would get that is by training with him and spending time with him. But his depth of knowledge and strategy in the martial arts is just unbelievable. I share this story. I love him so much. He's never hung up on his rank. I tell people he's like everybody's grandpa. Everybody just loves J. Pat Burleson, and he's just a kind and humble gentleman. And he portrays what the martial arts is really all about. The just genuine, sincere, wanting to help people, and I love him to death.
Well, you know, I got to throw my 2 cents in. Mr. Burleson and Mr. Jim Harrison, and they're just two incredible people. And last year, we had an incredible event, but the true joy, and I don't know if you've seen the Gathering DVD that Alan Kelly made of the movie of the event last year, but I insisted that at the end of the event that they emphasize Mr. Burleson, Mr. Harrison hugging each other and trading the awards. And Alan Kelly, of course, he granted that. It's just a beautiful moment to put those two guys together. And the treasure that Mr. Burleson is, I appreciate you sharing that with me so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Scott say his name for me again. Scott McNeely.
Scott McNeely.
Right?
Scott McNeely.
Tell me about Scott.
Well, let me tell you, he is one of the sharpest technicians anybody will ever meet. He does a lot of international training and international seminars and competitions and things. I started training with him back in the mid 80s, and he is a dynamic technician and dynamic fighter. And he took me under his wing and really trained me up for international competitions. If you can imagine taking a board that we break, toss it up in the air, and spin heel kick it so fast and so accurate that you break it in midair, I haven't seen too many people that can do that. Matter of fact, I've tried to do it many times and I've missed it 1,000 times, maybe broke it once or twice. But he can do that. He is so precise and so sharp and so fast. He can do that consistently. Just take a board, toss it up midair, spin heel kick it, and bust it midair. And
wow.
he I don't think he's ever gotten recognized for the level of martial artist that he is. Wonderful guy, wonderful contacts all over the world, and a true, genuine martial artist.
Now, you've talked about a few people, but Buddy Hudson, I'm going to put you on the spot. Name one icon that if you had a pleasure to meet, but you never got to meet him, who would that be?
Wow. You have put me on the spot. I've been able to meet a lot of martial artists over my career, including training with General Choi.
That could be a movie that karate instructor. You mean anybody that you always really really admired, but you never got to meet him.
You know what? This name comes to mind, Jackie Chan. I think he's a character. I think that he would be a neat person to just get to know. I hear he is a wonderful vocalist, and along with all of his talent, I've never had the opportunity to meet Jackie Chan, and I think that would be just a really cool thing to do. As a matter of fact, I've almost called my buddy. And dear friend Bob Wall, and said, "Hey, set me up. I want to meet Jackie Chan." I was talking with Grandmaster Wall last week, and he invited Pam and I to come out and spend some time with he and Lillian out in L.A. But I've never had the opportunity to meet Jackie Chan. I think that'd be cool.
Well, yeah, you know, it's a big brawl that he filmed in New Braunfels, brought in Benny Akitas and Stuart Sobel. We were all part of that, and actually when I first got to meet him. But you know, there's something I like to tell people that they don't know about Jackie Chan, and this is pretty incredible. His first movie was The Cannonball Run, put on by Hal Needham. And I was actually a gripper on that set for that, and that was a big talk about this Oriental guy. I mean, yeah, his first movie was The Cannonball Run with Burt Reynolds. Here's the neat thing about it. He donates all his profits of all his movies to charity.
Wow.
Think about that for a minute. Think of the movies that he's done. He's won an Oscar. I mean, this guy donates every bit of his profits to charities. I mean, he's like many
top. That is unbelievable.
Isn't that unreal? But people don't know about that.
Unbelievable. Well, that's even a more impressive reason that I'd like to meet Jackie Chan. So there you go.
Yeah. Amazing, amazing people, you know. I didn't pre-interview on this guy, but I hope you know him. I'm sure you do. Mr. Bill Balls Clark.
My goodness. Who in the industry don't know Grandmaster Bill Clark?
Man, I know. You called him Grandmaster Bill Clark, and I say Balls only because in 1973, I remember him pulling up in a red Corvette and getting out with a gi on his back, and it said Balls and 4-foot letters on the back of his gi. That was his nickname. He's a great guy. But go ahead and tell me about your relationship.
Great guy. Let me. You know, he is a absolutely wonderful martial artist.
Yes.
You know, he is sought out by people all over the country and actually all over the world for his business knowledge in the martial arts.
Yeah.
He's a very, very sharp business person, very successful, but he's another one of those that people may not realize or may have forgotten that, man, he was one of the baddest fighters. He was a great technician.
Great judge too. Remember, he was a great
sumo. Oh yeah,
judge.
Yeah.
Wow. Great fight.
Yeah, he judged a lot of full contact fights and you know, back in the day, he is a very well-rounded martial artist and well-rounded martial arts business person. He's certainly sought out from many, many people, and rightfully so, to learn how to not only be a martial artist but also be a successful martial arts business person.
Well, I actually met him after I fought a guy named Larry Reinhart, who destroyed me. And they were both from Jacksonville, Florida. Mr. Clark was, and so was Larry. And that's how I met Mr. Clark. But that's where I first saw him, when he pulled up in that red Corvette and he had a red gi match with balls on the back of his gi.
That like him. He's a great, such a character, great guy, loves to help people. And, you know, he has a passion for helping young martial artists, you know, in the industry and in the business. And you know, again, we've talked about this a little bit. That's what the real martial arts is all about, is you know, people helping people. Martial arts instructors helping the younger martial arts instructor, helping everybody be successful.
Absolutely. I got one more to throw at you. And he's from your area, and you might have fought him, because I did, a guy named Cedric Bull Rogers.
My goodness. That's a blast from the past. And yes, I have fought Cedric Bull Rogers.
Cool.
You know, I'm gonna tell you, the funniest things is all the flukes, like Billy Blanks knocking me down. And I was fighting Bull Rogers one time. Bull was a pretty good full contact fighter back in the day.
What?
And he was a Shotokan practitioner, and he was good. Well, I fought him in a tournament one time, and a matter of fact, my instructor was the chief judge in the ring, and I was a pretty good point fighter, and I had a couple of points up on him, and he stepped in and he hit me square in the chest and knocked me. There was, you know, how rings are set up beside each other. He knocked me past the ring that was beside us and knocked me into the like three rings over. And I thought, my goodness, I don't want to get hit with this guy again. Bull Rogers was a good fighter, good tournament fighter back in the day, good full contact fighter. And yes, I've had my fights with Bull Rogers. He's a good guy. I haven't seen him or heard of his name in years. Interesting that you bring him up. He's a great guy, great fighter back in the day.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I remember everybody that I lost to. I don't remember anybody that I beat. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
And I remember Bull Rogers. I fought him twice, and he beat me twice. And it was a good fight, good fight. Hey, thanks for putting the name game. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I can remember all the hits that I got better than I can remember the hitting other people. They
yes,
seem
sir.
To stick a little stronger.
Now, you've been a big part of the Sport Karate Museum. You helped me a lot, not just mentorship, but with everything. And I want to ask you bluntly, what's it like to you knowing that you're part of the Sport Karate Museum and the history, and how important that is to the new generation to know where about the J. Pat Bertelsons and the McNeelys and the people that have given to the sport karate in America, not particular styles, but America. And that's what we're about. So what's it like being a part of that, Betty?
Well, I'm so appreciative to be a part of it. And I tell you, you're doing things right now. The Sport Karate Museum is doing things right now that will carry on for generations and generations, to come. And everybody involved in the Sport Karate Museum is putting together history and not letting us lose that history, which would be lost if it wasn't for the Sport Karate Museum. And it'll carry on for generations. It's one of the ways that we, in the martial arts industry, can kind of carry on our legacies is through the museum. And that is something that will live on past all of us. And I'm so appreciative and just really admire you and what you've done for it and really proud to be a part of it.
Well, I'm excited about the fact that I've got the best job in the world, and that is putting people together that have never been together or have thought of each other or read about each other years ago but never even dreamed of meeting each other. And that's what we get to do every year at the gathering. Yeah. And I appreciate what you said. And I work every day for people like you, buddy. I really do. And I appreciate the compliment, the museum and the history generals. And, we've only got, think about all the martial arts in the world. We only got right around 250 history generals. and they've all been hand asked or hand picked and gone through, you know, it's really three requirements. You got to know 30 years of their history personally. I got to, it can't be solicited. And also, another history general has got to say something about you. I mean,
right.
You know, it's not one of these organizations that's, God bless them, what they're doing, but I don't do that. So every one of those history generals, when you go to that list, FortCarterMuseum.org, their name is, they've been asked personally. So I appreciate what you said. Now, if people want to get in contact with Buddy Hudson, or either mentorship, or about Taekwondo, or about your schools, how will they get in touch with you? And give us some information on that.
Well, I'm pretty easy to find. You can just go to our website, professionalblackbeltacademy.com, and I'm on Facebook, and I'm always willing to share what little knowledge I have with anybody that's in the martial art industry needing help, somebody getting started with a new school, or you know, anything I've got, I want to help our industry. So I'm there to help. Just look me up.
Well, that's very good. Now I'm gonna. I'm gonna keep talking to you because I want your input on this.
Sure.
You know, Mr. Bowen has got vision, as you know, as you probably talked to him. And one of the visions that he do this month, and that we're gonna do every show for the next four shows, is proud to be a martial artist. In other words, we're gonna get it out there, the fact that we're proud to be involved with the martial arts, not karate or kung fu or taekwondo, all these different cultures and stuff, but just in the martial arts. And to be proud that we're a part of that. And how do you feel about that? And do a campaign for this month coming up so we just get that out to let people realize that it's important to be a martial artist if you decide to be one. What do you feel about that?
Oh, I think that's a wonderful idea. And I really like the point that you're making is that it's not style specific. It's all martial arts. We're all a brotherhood in the martial arts industry and whatever we're teaching and whatever we're doing, and I think it's a wonderful idea, and I'll do my part to help get the word out.
Well, you know, to open the door to be proud of a martial artist, I think of two things immediately. I think of two people, Jason Davis and Kenny Riebstadt. Now, I don't know if you know Kenny or not. Do you know Jason Davis from the Adaptive Martial Arts Association?
I met him. I don't know him personally. I've heard of him.
Okay, well, Jason works with adaptive martial arts, people with different special ability disabilities, okay, whether it be wheelchair, crutches, and he is the president of this group, and he's also someone of special needs. And also, Kenny Riebstadt does the Cancer Warrior Program out of Texas, and my point is this. We brought them in a few years back to the Living Legends in the Carter Museum, and now Hunchy Bowen and the AMMA is working with them to develop programs. And that, to me, is to be proud to be a martial artist. Because, again, putting people together that would never be together. And
right.
That's the basis of being proud of who we are, to be able to put martial artists together like that. So I wanted to say that. I believe in that. I believe that you should be proud that you're a martial artist, that you're not involved with other things, even though other things are good. But being a martial artist, very, very special. The other thing I want to hit your point on, and this is pretty cool because I know you're a fighter. And I went to, after 25 different fighters around the country from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000 to get their opinion. And I'm going to do some bullet points with you. This year at the Living Legends, buddy, I'm interested in fighting. You know, for 3 years I've done Kata Wars, where it's the best of the best, right? 100 first place is just to be invited. Well, in fighting, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to handpick 8 fighters, 4 women and 4 men, and they've got to have 100 first places under their belt to be even invited. And this is a mouthful. I'll say it real slow. It's called the Jim Harrison's America's Challenge, Black Belt Tag Team Point Fighting, the Battle of the Sexes. Now, let me explain to you. We're going to take 4 male fighters, 2 man teams, 4 women fighters, 2 female teams. They won't fight each other, but they'll fight the female and male team. And basically, one fighter of the male and one fighter of the women will be going against what we call bonus points. One that throws the most technique, or have someone on the side keeping tally. Those are not points, but the most techniques. They're going to get a bonus at the end of the 2-3 minute match. And then we've changed the rule a little bit. Now, you'll like this rule, I hope. all the fighters did. 1 point punch, 2 point kick. But they have the Howard Jackson rule now. And this was approved by Jim Harrison. The Howard Jackson rule is if two judges who are watching the fight, the center referee has no say so just to break the fight. If one judge see a fighter hit the other fighter three to four to five times before the center referee can stop the fight, that judge is going to give that fighter 3 points.
Wow, I love it.
Yeah, so that means that the center referee, if he stops the fight, it's over. But if that fighter can hit that other fighter 3 to 4 to 5 times before that center referee can stop it, that judge is going to give him 3 points. Now, think about it for a moment. One, if it's a tie, they can walk away with it. If in, say, 10 seconds left. If there's 10 seconds left and, say, it's down 1 point, everybody knows it's going to be a 3-point technique. Okay, they know it. And that's going to bring the excitement to the fight, I believe. So I'm not trying to change things. I'm just trying to make it more exciting. And
you know what? I love it. That will bring excitement.
Cool. And then the judges, they'll pick one male fighter out of the four, and they'll pick one female fighter out of the four, and that'll form the Jim Harrison's American Challenge from next year to challenge any male or woman team to challenge that team. So it's a 2-year running tournament. And when Jim Harrison heard about it, well, when he heard about fighting, Mr. Harrison goes, "I'm mad at you, Gary." And he wasn't really upset, but he said he was mad at me because I didn't invite him to fight. And you know what I said? I said, "Mr. Harrison, when was the last time you put on equipment?" He said, "I never put on any blankety blank 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 equipment." I said, "Well, you're not going to be
anybody." I don't know if anybody wants to climb in the ring with Jim Harrison today.
I know. But you know what he did? He said, "Gary," and he said this. He said, "Gary, you know, I support you so much. What can I do?" And I said, "Well, let me think about it." And I talked to God for just about 2 seconds, and God said, "Ask him to name it after me." And I did. I said, "Mr. Harrison, did I name America's Challenge after you?" And he said, "Yes." So that's how the Jim Harrison's American Challenge came about. So we'll see what happens. Introducing Fighting at the Legends this year. So you like that new rule? You like the Howard Jackson rule?
I love it. That's gonna really it's going to step it up, especially if the fight's close. Man, that's going to bring some excitement.
Well, you know, Howard closed the gap. He was known as inventing the blitz. And he was an incredible guy that did that. And I miss him every day. So out of love and respect, I thought that'd be cool to name that after my friend. So, hey, well, thanks for being here tonight. It's been so special. And any last word that you can say to anybody that's listening about any encouragement? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll do this with everybody pretty much, and I'll do it with you. I walk into your karate school. I've never done karate before. I said, "Well, I want to do karate. What do I do?" What would you say to him?
You know what? Why don't if you've never done martial arts before, step out here. Let's give you a first class. Let you see what it's all about. And we like to just get somebody on the floor immediately, and just we don't go into sales presentations or anything like that. We just say, "You know what? Come on, work out with us. Come work out with us. If you like it, we'd love to have you."
That's soft sell at the max, isn't it, little brother? I love it.
Yeah. Yes. And you know what?
I love it.
They love it, and I don't have too many that walks off the floor that tries a first class that don't want to enroll.
Well, you know, I know the secret about martial arts sales today in 2018 is definitely soft sell. It always has been for me, but, you know, the people who are successful – have that soft sell presentation where you're not forcing. Because think about this, buddy. Back in our day, there wasn't a karate studio every block, and there wasn't one. There wasn't one. I mean, I remember when I was with Sam Chapman, there was two schools: the Korean guys and Sam Chapman in Greenville, South Carolina. So now in Greenville, last time I checked, which was about 10 years ago, there was over 100 schools, and that's a textile southern town. So imagine what it's like in a big city.
There's school in every corner.
It's the way to go. Absolutely.
But
before we go.
Go ahead.
How's Pam? She's such a sweetheart.
Pam is Pam is just doing great. She is my lovely wife is just wonderful. She's helping with the schools. She's teaching classes, and we're just enjoying our family school together. Pam and I are now assistant instructors to our wonderful son that's leading the way with our new school. So Pam and I got demoted to assistant instructors, and Jared is the chief instructor.
Wow.
And
we make sure
it.
We talk to her, and you guys are saying your dues and whatever. Just make sure you tell her I asked about her, because she's such a sweetheart. She really is.
Absolutely. She
will
loves
she be
it,
at Jamie's event on the 21st? Will I see her there? Or just
We will both be there.
Great.
Will.
Well, again, thank you, Buddy Hudson, for spending time with me tonight. And I'll see you in the Super. Well, I'll see you, Jamie's there in a couple of weeks, and I'll see you
That's
at the
right.
Super Show.
Okay, you take care. Thanks for having me on.
Oh man, it's been my pleasure. Aloha, brother. Aloha. On behalf of AMA Radio Blog and Radio Network, this is Professor Gary Lee signing off, and we'll see you next Tuesday with my incredible guest, the new president of the Amateur Organization of Karate, Mr. D.E. Chambers. We'll be talking about the new beginnings of the NBL, the AOK. I didn't say NBL. I can't believe I said NBL. The Amateur Organization of Karate. And we'll be talking about some really cool things coming up. The AOK State Championship, the Golden Greek Reunion, Winners Reunion that they're going to be doing for the State Championship, and some of the fun things that he has planned for the AOK and the great, great new beginnings of this organization. So it's really the oldest organization in Texas. They're 37 years old, so it's amazing. So, oh, I take that back. They're not 30. They're 40 years old. It's 37 years since they created the Golden Greek Award. So I got that confused. 40 years they're celebrating this year at the AOK State Championship. And we'll be talking to Mr. D.E. Chambers, the president of the Amateur Organization of Karate, next Tuesday night. So good night. See everybody. Mahalo and aloha.